Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Howdy, you are in the clubhouse. Welcome to the show. It is the Open at Muirfield. That's right. I know a lot of people call it the British Open, but don't do that if you're anywhere close to the UK or Europe in general. Golf World, Golf Digest, executive editor, senior writer, and author of Vision 54 Trilogy. He's got the fourth in works. Also worked for many years with the Associated Press. Will be joining us in the newsroom. He's at the Open at Muirfield. We're going to take care of the people first who actually make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Golf World executive editor, Golf Digest senior writer, award-winning writer, I might add, author, best-selling, and he's at the Open. Mr. Cyrak, one of seven major championships he's covering this year. Plus, he'll be at the Solheim Cup, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Ron Cyrak. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. And, you know, there are so many complaints. This has got to be the most beautiful postcard picture weather. I want to go to Scotland. I'm in love with Scotland, the Gulf Coast. Ireland, too. Don't want to leave them out. But is it really as bad? It looks like beach weather. Are they baking over the, are you baking?
Yeah, I've been coming here for 20 years, and I've never seen it this hot and this dry the way it is right now. And it's fascinating. The forecast is that it's going to stay like this for the rest of the month over here. I've never seen a golf course as brown as this is. But to me, I love it. It makes it fun. Part of what the British Open does is it tests, well, first of all, you got to change your whole style of play and figure out how to play links golf, but it really tests your resiliency. You know, you're going to, you know, Nick Faldo once told me, in the States, you worry about your golf ball when it's in the air. In Britain, you worry about your golf ball after it lands. And that's the case here, man. That ball, you know, you hit a shot, it looks like it's going to be a good shot, and then you just hope it misses the bunkers when it's rolling.
I can't count how many times I've seen a ball on the green, keep rolling down the green, and then rolling and rolling and rolling, and it's in the bunker. We watched Miguel Angel Jimenez, who started off this morning as the leader. I mean, he was doing a tiger move in the bunker, one leg in, one leg out. It was amazing, and he did it again this morning.
I mean, you see guys have to hit over here lots of golf shots that are clearly the kind of golf shots that you never practice, you know?
Yeah.
You know, nobody's ever practiced that shot, yep.
We talk about the wind over there, too, of course, a lot, and I understand that it's been shifting. It's not that the wind is not blowing from the direction the golf course was designed for it to blow from. Can you explain a little bit about how the wind's affecting this course?
Yeah, you know, and the wind is not, it's not that strong. We're probably in about the 10 to 15 mile an hour range, maybe 10 to 12 mile an hour range. But what it did is after Thursday's round, when a lot of guys went low, we had a lot of numbers in the 60s, on Friday it shifted and started coming out of the east. And this golf course is particularly genius in the way it's designed. A lot of holes going a lot of different direction. So what you end up playing again with this particular wind is a lot of crosswind. And this is probably not surprising, but the most difficult holes right now are holes that are playing downwind because the greens are so firm. It's just really hard to make the ball stop and stay on the green.
Let me ask you this. With links golf, you know, a lot of guys, as you said, the ball's not stopping and staying on the green. And they can't put spin on it to make it stop and stay on the green. Was links golf designed to put spin on the ball and make it stop like that?
No. It's always about figuring out how to bounce the ball up onto the green. That's why, you know, it's why all these great golf courses over here Rarely do you have bunkers in front of greens, because they always give you that open angle to be able to bounce it in there. Because when the wind is really blowing, you don't want to play the ball in the air anyway. You know, you want to play it on the ground. And the game here, and I always thought it's one of the reasons why the Europeans do so well in the Ryder Cup all the time. They're so good around the greens because they have so many different shots. They don't just grab the 60-degree wedge and look to hit a flop shot in there. They figure out other ways to get the ball close to the hole.
The other place people are getting stuck, other than being in the bunkers, and boy, they're deep, it's the rough. Now, I've heard that there's a combination of what looks like hay, and then inside that hay is green grass. Is there any green grass inside the rough anymore?
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know, you got that high, and it's really like shin-high fescue out there, the seagrasses. And then there is some gnarly green stuff down below it. You know, on the first day, the first hole, pretty much anybody who missed the fairway on either side, left or right, if you missed badly, they made you hit a provisional because the odds were like 50-50. They weren't going to find your golf ball. It was that gnarly. So.
The other thing about this course, I understand that many, many, many years ago when this course was first built, it was completely walled in, and that it's been changed over the years.
But there are remnants of the walls everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it, and it is fascinating. And you know, part of what they have in Britain is they sort of have this common land use thing where, you know, and it goes back to the shepherds. The shepherds just sort of spray paint a brand on their sheep, and they let the sheep roam wild and feed wherever they want to feed. So people are allowed to cross anybody's land here, and. There are these amusing signs on Muirfield that says, please do not cross the golf course. It is a private club.
Ah.
And I wanted to say, no kidding, man. This might be the most private club I've ever been around.
Okay, wait a minute. Now you're bringing up a whole new can of worms that I can't really ignore. When you say private club, it's men only private club. And we sort of have the Masters whole drama over again. But I've heard that in Scotland, the women don't really care that much that it's a private club for men only, and that women are not allowed in. And that, in fact, one of your colleagues, John Huggan, brought this up, that it's in part, you know, the women's fault that this change hasn't come about. What's the feeling there?
Well, it is true. It's not as much of an issue here as it is in the States. And you know, I mean, the basic feeling, and I think that you got to draw a distinction between two different things, a private club like Muirfield, or if you look in the United States, like Garden City Men's Club or Pine Valley or Burning Tree, that are men-only clubs, and something like Augusta, which essentially, and this was always my feeling about Augusta National, it functions, the Masters functions, club functions as a quasi-governing body in the game. And I think people have more of a problem with the RNA, the Royal and Ancient Golf Club, being an all-male organization than they do about Muirfield.
Ah.
Because the thinking would be, if you're involved in governing the game of golf, shouldn't you be inclusive? And shouldn't
yes.
that be the message that you're sending out? And I think that's ultimately what changed things at Augusta, was that they functioned so much in terms of growing the game. I mean, how could you be running the chip drive and putt contest that Augusta's going to do, that's going to end at Augusta next year, for both boys and girls, when you have a men-only club?
Yeah.
They really needed to grow the game. They needed to embrace an open membership.
And it's interesting. I've spoken with a few European women who've tried to get into the game and came to the States because there really are no places that are embracing to women in golf there. It's not like they want to get women into the game. It's not something that the RNA, like the USGA, has a big push to grow the game. It doesn't seem to be, you know, one of those burning issues in the mind of the RNA.
Right, and I'm not even sure that they're doing as much as they should be doing, and particularly through the private clubs, in terms of growing the junior game over here. The RNA is very, very involved with growing the game in Asia. They have some very impressive grow the game programs in China and other areas of Asia. But if you look, just look at the LPGA right now, there are very few, the great golfers from Britain on the LPGA are all in their 40s or older. You know, I mean, you look at Katrina Matthews, you look at Laura Davies. The better players from Europe in women's golf right now are coming from the continent. are coming from, they've always been coming from Sweden, but we're now getting them from France and from Italy and from Spain. And I think that there's a problem in Britain in terms of a generation of young women golfers.
Something I've thought about as I look for the UK representation on the LET and LPGA. On the subject of golfers, switching a little bit, one thing about this leaderboard, every time I look at it and I think I know where somebody is, they're not there. That's the dynamic of this course. In one hole, you can go from top to like fifth. And it's amazing.
Yeah. There's a double bogey out there with everybody's name on it. And it's part of what I've been holding my breath on with Tiger, because this week, part of what he's done brilliantly so far is made his worst hole be a bogey. He got really lucky the very first hole. He missed into the left rough, hit a provisional, and then went down, was able to find the ball, took an unplayable lie drop, and salvaged the one putt bogey there. But in the first 11 groups that went out on Thursday, there were 3 sixes, 2 sevens, and an eight, and 2 eights on the par four first hole.
Wow.
So that's part of what you got to do here is stay away from that big number.
Just grind it out, which he's been doing brilliantly, as you said. But, you know, it's always like, okay, Thursday, Friday, he's been doing good. He's just the opposite of what he was, you know, yesteryear, the old Tiger, Tiger 1.0. Tiger 2.0 or 3.0, whichever swing you want to focus on, seems to have a problem keeping the momentum going. It's like he made the cut, and then he exhales and forgets that, hey, there's two more days to go, dude. And you brought up that his stroke average before the weekend was 69.5, and then during the weekend, 73.4.
Yeah, I mean, for the last five majors, he's gone into the weekend with a chance to win, including this year at Marion, where he was, I think in sixth or seventh place, something like that. But last year, he was tied for the lead in the U.S. Open at Olympic Club going into the weekend. He was tied for the lead in the PGA at Kiawa going into the weekend. He was in third place going into the weekend at the British Open. And, from a guy who's the greatest closer we've ever seen in the game, he hasn't been able to get it done. His stroke average in those weekend rounds is almost four full strokes higher than it is on the Thursday, Friday round. It's a puzzlement.
Yeah. Lee Westwood, working with Sean Foley, Tiger swing coach, Ian Baker Finch on the greens, apparently got some tension. I wanted him to play like a kid again. He's looking really good.
Yeah, he is. One of my colleagues, the John Huggan, who you referenced, was, we were talking earlier, and he said, what sets up well for Lee here is that he's not a very good chipper and pitcher of the golf ball. But around here, a lot of times you play your short game with the flat stick and putt a lot. And that's probably going to help him. I'm glad you mentioned Sean Foley, because we have right now, Sean Foley, of course, was Justin Rose's coach who won the U.S. Open. And right now, Hunter Mahan's in the clubhouse at 1 under par. Tiger Woods is at 2 under par. And Lee Westwood is at 3 under par. And Sean works with all of them.
It's also interesting to see Adam Scott coming up and Ryan Moore, Henrik Stenson. But this guy, the duck, Angel Cabrera, I mean, out of nowhere, during majors, what is it about him that he just can't?
Yeah. He can only play majors. It's amazing. I mean, he's won a U.S. Open. He's won a Masters. He lost a Masters in a playoff. I don't know if it's the big paycheck at the end or if it's just, Payne Stewart was this way. Payne Stewart just was able to focus better and concentrate better in the majors because he took them more seriously and he was able to get mentally engaged. I've always loved Cabrera's swing. About 10 years ago, we asked a bunch of famous players around the game to name their five favorite swings. And Mickey Wright, who many people say may have one of the two or three greatest swings of all time, said her five favorite swings were Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, Gene Littler, Louise Suggs, and Angel Cabrera.
Yes,
that was before Angel won any majors. It was like, wow, what did she know?
That's good. Okay, now the most interesting man in the world, Miguel Angel Jimenez. Some guys, the most interesting man were really. And I saw a tweet. Apparently, he was holding a wine glass with his cigar and watching the guys on the range. Bradley said something to his aunt, not his aunt, but give me Pat. Bradley's first name?
Keegan.
Keegan, thank you.
Yeah.
Keegan tweeted that maybe he is the most interesting man in the world after seeing him. You know, he's on the range. He's just...
Well, I'll tell you a story about him. A couple of years ago, I was at a tournament in Bahrain, European Tour event, and I think it was Friday. He missed a putt on the 13th hole, and he tossed his putter at his bag. Not really angrily or viciously, but he threw it in his bag, but it hit wrong and it broke. And he putted the last five holes with his 60-degree wedge and played them 3 under par.
Wow.
So, yeah. Wow. This guy's just cool.
He is. I'm really, you know, what storylines we have this weekend. Truly amazing.
He would be the oldest major winner ever if he won.
At 49. Hideki Matsuyama, two-time Asian amateur winner, played twice at the Masters. He's turned professional, and look at him coming up the leaderboard. Ryo Ishikawa, I mean, you know, I think Ryo, with so much pressure on him to be the prince, as they called him in Japan, Hideki's managed to go under the radar and not feel that pressure of being photographed and followed and the oppressiveness of the expectations. And he's doing so well.
Yeah, you know, I saw it when Ai Miyazato joined the LPGA Tour, and she would literally have 35, 40 photographers from following her on the golf course. Sports are a big deal in Japan, and the media covers it really strongly. And I think you made a really wise point about Matsuyama, that he's sort of been able to play on the Ishikawa has kept that focus off of him, because people are still viewing Ishikawa as the future of Japanese golf. But I think you're going to see Matsuyama's name in the paper a lot tomorrow, because he was given a slow play penalty today.
Oh.
And yep. And I think that, you know, that's becoming more and more of an issue in the game. You know, the USGA has started this while we're young public relations, public service announcement campaigns to try to get people to play faster golf. And there were, he was hit with a penalty, and it'll be interesting to see. It fascinates me that a lot of times some of the same people who complain about slow play are the people who then, those same people then complain when somebody's penalized for slow play.
This is true. But they also penalize the people that you least expect. It's like they don't penalize the really top stars. You know,
I think you're right. You're right there. I mean, the PGA Tour has not issued a slow play stroke penalty since the 1995 Honda Classic. So,
something needs to be done. You're off to St. Andrews and the RICO Women's British Open, This is really exciting. NB Park going for her fourth. She's at the marathon, doing okay. She kind of dropped down. She's going to Korea. Got a lot on her plate going into this at St. Andrews. Very exciting. Are you going to play some golf?
I am. I'm taking the week in between the two tournaments as vacation. I pitched to my bosses that you can get two tournaments covered for the price of one plane ticket, and I'll take the week in between and play some golf. It's going to be fascinating to see, because I think St. Andrews sets up pretty well for Indy Park, because the greens are huge there. Lag putting is really important, and putting's the strength of her game.
Excellent. Well, can we talk then again? I'm following you through the majors to the Solheim Cup.
You got it. I go. This is a 5-week odyssey for me. I'm here, then I have vacation, then I go Women's British Open, PGA Championship, Solheim Cup.
Awesome.
With a few golf channel appearances in between. So.
Excellent. Looking forward to seeing you on television and talking with you in 2 weeks at the Women's from St. Andrews. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust. It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back in the clubhouse. By the way, Keegan Bradley is in the clubhouse after his third round. He's tied for 27th. You know, sometimes the brain fails me. But we're going to go to Ireland. Someplace I need to go, another place I need to go, Scotland and Ireland. I can stay with my cousin in the UK and just sort of dash about. I'm sure she won't mind, or drag her with me to all the courses. This is one that I may not want to leave. It's called the European Club. It's South Dublin, County Wicklow. And the man who made this course was a golf writer. His name is Pat Ruddy. He designed the course. He's the owner of the course, and he's the operator. I mean, I can't think of anything better to have a golf course in your own backyard and have people come over and play. Do you have playing privileges, sir? Welcome to the show, Pat Ruddy.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm excellent, sir. It's a great day. It's Open Championship Week, and it's been wonderful. Top 100 of Golf Course Architecture Magazine's Architect's Choice. You are in that list. You also built the Sandy Hills course in Rosa Pena. I understand you have the most amazing collection of golf books.
Yes, I've been collecting golf books since 1958.
Wow.
And I have just over 6,300 now.
And then you took, is this correct, you took 5,000 and you put them in the clubhouse in a specially designed library?
Yeah, we... upstairs in the clubhouse is my private domain, apartment, and the library therein. Yeah.
Wow. Do you let anybody go in and, you know, take out
a
book?
Oh, yeah. I describe it as the writer's room.
And,
serious students of the game can have a bit of research there. But the difficulty with books, as you know, if they get handled too much, they fall apart.
Uh-huh.
So we just have to control it a little bit. But the idea is we'd have the literature of the game gathered at a golf place, and it's no good having it there in a dry manner. It has to be living and used.
Oh, I like that. Yes. I mean, even if you have to use gloves for the really the older books. What is the oldest book that you have?
Oh, about 1860.
Oh, yeah.
I get a sad feeling when I go to libraries. We have a very fine library in Dublin called Trinity College. And the books there are going back over 400 years. And I often think of some poor guy, his book is up there in the top left-hand corner, not read for 395 years. A very sad ending, huh?
Yes. Something that should be living, shouldn't be
put away
for 300 years.
Preserved but forgotten, huh?
Okay. How did you go from being a golf writer to a golf course designer, owner, operator of the European Club?
Yeah, well, I had the aspiration to own a golf course of my own since back then in 1958 when I heard that Jimmy DeMaria and Jack Burke were building a golf course of their own down in Houston, Texas.
No.
And this impressed me as a neat idea to have a course of your own. And it took root and never left in my mind. And I liked the name as well, Champions. They didn't call it the Losers Club. So when I got to do mine, I didn't call it the Ballygor Backwards Club. I claimed a whole continent.
That's too funny. No, they wouldn't call it the Losers Club.
Yeah. But Texans have a way, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do everything big and grand and marvelous.
So they're good people.
Do you have a place to stay at the European Club?
Only for me.
Only for you. So
and
is there that's nice.
Yeah. No. So people are welcome to come, but they must go.
They must leave. Go away now. This is my home. Is there a hotel you recommend nearby?
Oh, we have Druid's Glen, just not far away, where I designed two excellent golf courses for them. And the hotel is a fine hotel. It's about 15 miles away.
Druid's Glen. I like Druid's the name. Glen. Yeah, that's good. Okay, I need to talk to you about playing Lynx. You know, it seems like as I'm watching Muirfield, it's like hard pan. I feel like I should take like a range mat and just go from place to place on the course and just try to pick the ball off the mat. How does one prepare for Lynx play?
Well, it's a distinct art, and you're best to start at the age of 5. So I think you're a bit late.
Just a wee bit.
I was bringing my daughter down to the west of Ireland a few years ago, and she said, "Daddy, I'm very excited. I want to see an old lady wearing a shawl." So I said, "We better hit the gas because we're 30 years late."
She was looking at
the thing that people suffer at when they come over from the States, and they don't understand it for a little while. And it's a capricious form of the game. You see, that's if you hit one side of a mound, the ball can scoot on for 80 yards. Hit the wrong side, it could go left, right, or stop. And the wind then, if you're into the wind, or the wind following, if the wind is following, it's particularly difficult to put into the greens because you can't get any spin at all. And you see it on the open coverage there. Even the best golfers in the world went in with shorter clubs than they ever went in with at championship golf over the years on links. Still not able to stop it at the flag.
No, that's what they all say. You know, I can't spin it and stop it. Well, don't spin it.
imagine the guys going, trying to go in there with the 3 wood in the old days, you know?
Yeah. I've got to ask you, I was thinking about Tom Watson. He's there. He didn't make the cut, but he's been watching his potential Ryder Cup teammates or team players. He'll be the captain. So I imagine what he's looking for is how these guys handle the disappointment, because I understand it can be grueling.
Oh, the whole of life is like that, and golf is just a part of life. And these men are great. They take an ace and just suck it in and go on. And if you can't take the punishment, you're in the wrong job altogether, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the truth.
Tom is, of course, one of the great masters of Lynx golf himself. Peter Thompson from Australia was a great one. Then I suppose Tom comes next. He won the Open so often, and he nearly won it again at Turnberry a couple of years ago.
Wasn't that something?
Barner, yeah.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah, there you go. You're getting on now.
Okay.
You get free bus pass.
Thank you. Yes. I've got to ask you about an Open being played at Royal Port Rush. This has been talked about quite a bit. Do you think an Open will be played in Ireland soon?
I think so, yeah. I wrote the RNA myself about 15 years ago saying, bringing the Open to Ireland and come to the European Club, no better place. And, of course, I was flying a kite. But what I was saying really was, remember, Ireland exists and we have the best golf in the world, best links in the world. And I think it's a travesty if they don't come. And of course, the political situation in the North has calmed greatly.
And
it's possible now.
Yeah.
And Port Rush is really worthy of the event.
Yeah, there's room for it there, right? How about a major event at the European Club?
Oh, yeah. If they have any sense, they'll come here, of course. I did a book on the place recently, and it's named The Perfect Golf Links, so on they come. But all joking aside, Port Rush is a special place. We had the Irish Open there last year, and it was the first and only time that became an all-ticket affair, that the Lynx, they sold out a European Tour event. You could not get a ticket. And that speaks for itself, that Port Rush is ready as a great Lynx, as a great venue, and the crowds are mad for golf.
Exactly, exactly. Ticket prices are a little steep this year at the Open. Crowd levels aren't quite as high as they were. I understand it's £75 to get in. Is that correct?
I normally get a free ticket, so I don't
worry
too much.
Know.
I'm a bit mean, you know.
Yes,
but no,
good.
Seriously, it's a lousy game to watch if you're outside the ropes, because go to a football match, you see all the action. In golf, if you're unlucky and land behind a row of 6'1" guys, you're dead.
You know, you're absolutely right. You might as well be at home watching television.
I don't understand how they get away with it all those years. They pay to see so little.
Why people pay to see so little. I love that. Okay. Tiger Woods, does he still hold the course record at the European Club?
Oh, he does, yeah. He was in special mood the day he set that. It was 2002. He had won the Masters, won the U.S. Open. Didn't know he was about to blow up in the storms at Muirfield the following week. But top man, top form, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What did he shoot?
67. We have 20 holes here. We have two extra par threes, and he went birdie par for those. So I was lucky I didn't have 21 or 2 holes. He'd wrecked me.
What do you think's up with Rory McIlroy?
He's young. That's all. Young and distracted, perhaps, by all sorts of things going on around him. And I think he's a lovely young man, but no one has told him he doesn't have to answer all questions about politics or religion and business. And he hasn't learned the art of just walking away and being in his own zone. But he's a wonderful golfer, wonderful guy, rich as could be, and young. So I'd all hope for him having a great future.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The only problem, of course, is he sees that Tiger Woods take the heat for not answering the questions. And so he's young, and he's affable, and he's perfect. I mean, he just loves to communicate.
He answers every question in the most gentle manner. He loses his temper on the course slightly once or twice, but never with the press, never with the fans. A perfect young gentleman. And maybe he has to become a little bit more of a tiger. Not saying anything wrong about Tiger, but Tiger knows how to concentrate very well.
He does, doesn't he? Pat Rudy, former golf writer, but now course designer, and he's working on two more. That's right? You've got two more in the works?
Yeah, you obviously can't resist a commission if someone wants to spend money with me. I sort of get out of bed early. Yeah.
You know, everyone's told me he's a Lynx legend and very funny, and you've lived up to that, Mr. Rudy. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much, and tell everyone in Hawaii they should be in Ireland where the weather is good this time.
I will, and I'm doing that right now on 4 radio stations. Everybody's
the suntan lotion is dynamic here at the moment.
Thanks for being on the show. Course designer, owner, operator, the European Club. Pat Rudy, you got to go and check it out. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism now affects 1 in 88 children in the United States. Early diagnosis for autism makes all the difference. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please join me at the Els for Autism Golf Challenge this year. We are playing great courses throughout the United States. Fundraise $13,000 or more, and you can join me and some of my friends at the finale in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team.
Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get star protection.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Boy, I hope you've set your DVR if you can't watch this live, because Lee Westwood and Tiger Woods are just trading places at the top of the leaderboard. We've got a couple of 68s, three of them, with Hunter Mahan, 68, and Sergio Garcia, a 68, and I believe Sterney had a 68 as well. Yes, Richard Sterney had a 68, too. Well, coming into the clubhouse now, Don Van Natta, best-selling author, investigative reporter for ESPN, member of two Pulitzer Prize-winning teams, 16 years with the New York Times. He's working on two books right now, one about News Corp, the News of the World phone hacking scandal. Can't wait to read that. And a biography of Sid Gilman, the NFL and AFL head coach. But we're going to talk about Wonder Girl. He's the author of Wonder Girl, The Magnificent Sporting Life of Babe Didrikson Zaharias. It's now in paperback, and it's a Danielle recommended read. Welcome to the show, Don.
Hi, Danielle. Great to be with you again.
Thanks. Are you watching any Open?
Not today, unfortunately. I'm pulling for Lee Westwood, and I'm happy to hear you report that he's at the top of the leaderboard with Tiger. I'll be watching it wall-to-wall tomorrow, though.
Oh, it's some absolutely fabulous golf. Even though it's you know, I hear groans and moans and oh, if I'm not in the room and while listening, you know, the people are watching, it's like, what? It rolled right through the green and into the bunker. I'm like, really?
Yeah, the Open is such a great event. It may be my favorite major. I love the Masters too, of course, but the Open is just so great, and I'm regretting missing it. I just had too much to do this morning, and I've missed all of it, but I will make up for it tomorrow. I will miss a shot tomorrow.
Excellent, excellent. So I got to ask you about Babe Zaharias, and folks have maybe not even heard that name until NB Park won the third major, something only Babe Zaharias had done up until that time. And so NB Park and Babe Zaharias are being, you know, talked about in the same sentence now in the world of golf. But I got to ask you this question. Has there really ever been a female athlete comparable or comparable to Babe Zaharias?
No, I don't think so, Danielle. I think she really stands out as the greatest female athlete of all time. Even today, understanding that she was born in 1911 and came to prominence in the United States in 1932 at the Olympic Games in Los Angeles when she won two gold medals and a silver medal, and then had that great golf career through the 40s and 50s, and her life was cut short at the age of 45 in 1956. But it's her versatility that makes her so great. And, you know, she was an All-American basketball player, a gold medalist in track and field in 1932. She played baseball. She played softball. She was a swimmer, a diver, an accomplished tennis player. She was even good at bowling. But it was golf, Danielle, where she really made a name for herself, even bigger than all those other sports. She won 14 tournaments in a row, a record that stands to this day for male or female, co-founder of the LPGA, and won all those majors, including the first woman, by the way, to win the Women's British Amateur in Goulain, where they are, it wasn't a Muirfield, but in Goulain, at the Goulain Golf Club in 1947, Babe was the first American to win the British Women's Amateur. So just an incredibly accomplished career.
Amazing. And you've got to read this book because it takes you back to that time when plenty was not a word that anybody knew. There was no plenty of anything. And she and her family and the people around her managed to put together successful lives. Not all of them, of course, but it was possible. And that's when you think maybe, oh dear, my life is really bad. You know, we've got so much, and so many people are there to help if you don't have. it doesn't come anywhere near to what it was like in 1930s America. And to see what she accomplished, amazing, amazing. When did she take up golf?
Well, you know, she played in high school, and she told quite a few fibs about that as a young woman when she was starting. That's one of the great things about Babe. She was an incredible self-promoter and would often create these sort of fanciful stories for reporters to get her name in the papers, and it worked a lot. But she was on the golf team for 2 years at Beaumont High School. Beaumont, Texas is where she grew up. So it was at a young age, and as your listeners know, the earlier you take up golf, the better player you're going to be. I unfortunately took it up after college and have been struggling ever since. But if you start young as they did, you play great, and she did. And golf was something, though, that she put on the side burner when she was later in high school. She became a very accomplished basketball player and an All-American basketball player, playing for a team in Dallas called the Employers Casualty Insurance Company team. There were corporations in those days in the late 20s and early 30s in Texas and Oklahoma and that part of the country sponsored basketball teams, and Babe was an All-American and won the AAU basketball championship for Employers Casualty. So that's really where she got her first blush of fame, was as a basketball player.
Yeah, and you got to read this book, because the way they had teams in these corporations back then, it was like you were a pretend employee of,
right.
And you had your own little desk, right? It's like, what am
That's
I
right. Yeah, you're basically sort of a ringer. It's true. It's funny, actually. Babe really didn't do much, even though she had a desk. She was an employee. But really, for all intents and purposes, she was paid to play. And so she was a professional athlete at the age of 17. And Danielle, the thing about the book and Dave's story that I really fell in love with as I was researching this book is how many hurdles were put in Babe's way.
Yes.
You know, I was at Wimbledon a couple weeks ago, and I heard Billie Jean King talk about in the early 1970s how women didn't have credit cards, how hard it was for women then to be taken seriously and put on the same plane as men as athletes. That was in the early 1970s. Well, Babe was trying to make a life for herself as a professional athlete in the 1930s, 40
yeah.
years earlier. And she managed to do it. And to me, that's just an extraordinary American story.
She fought cancer, and she came back to golf, and then that's what's amazing. Didn't she win a major after returning from cancer?
Yes, Danielle. That's another part of her story. She's really like a real-life Rocky Balboa in her comeback. In 1953, Babe was at the height of her fame. She was winning many tournaments as an LPGA star, and she was diagnosed with cancer, with colon and rectal cancer. And the doctors told her in April of 1953 that she was never going to play golf again. And she believed it for a couple days, actually. She tried to give her golf clubs away to a friend, but she got very determined. She had major surgery with a colostomy bag installed on her side. And just 15 months after that major surgery, in July of 1954, Babe won the U.S. Women's Open at Salem Country Club in Massachusetts by 12 strokes. An extraordinary demolition of the field. And what was even more extraordinary about it is the final day, Babe had to play 36 holes. So it wasn't just a test of skill, but it was a test of endurance that Babe passed with flying colors. It was, and afterward, Danielle, I love this part of the story. She thanked her doctors. Babe was very selfish through much of her career, and it was all about her. And never liked to give credit to her teammates when she played team sports. But she really grew up that day as she accepted that trophy at Salem Country Club. She thanked her doctors who got her better, but she also thanked the thousands of strangers who sent her cards and letters and telegrams saying that she was an inspiration to them because she was so public about her cancer and had come back from her cancer at a time when very few public figures talked about it. I mean, Babe Ruth, nobody knew Babe Ruth had cancer until after he died in 1948. Babe was very open about it and was really out there telling people, look, if you don't feel well, go to the doctor, get yourself checked out right away. She didn't do that.
which is why the cancer was so advanced when it was finally found in 1953. So she was just a great inspiration to millions of Americans.
Absolutely. And one thing about Don Vanetta's book, and this is Wonder Girl, is, yes, the accolades. You can't help but be amazed by this woman, what she's accomplished. But he does not hold back in telling you about how selfish she was and how much, you know, people would probably dislike her because of her self-selling. You know, she was constantly promoting herself. And it was all, like you said, Don, it was all about her. Thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Danielle. Great to be with you again.
Thanks. Don Vanetta, best-selling author, investigative reporter for ESPN. By the way, a member of two Pulitzer Prize-winning teams, if you missed that. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Now, this may be one of the most exciting tournaments this year and for a long time. This is Muirfield. It is the Open. It's in Scotland, Gullane. It's a beautiful part of Scotland. It's the Gulf Coast. There are golf courses all up and down that stretch. And, of course, you can't play Muirfield unless you're really rich and you got a friend. Maybe you can play if you're a friend of somebody and you're a woman. I'm not sure. I don't know if they even let women play in Muirfield. We'll see. But anyway, we've got Tiger Woods and Lee Westwood and Hunter Mahan and Adam Scott and Henrik Stenson and Miguel Angel Jimenez and Ryan Moore and Angel Cabrera and Zach Johnson and Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson just won the Scottish Open, right? Somebody said, hey, it's hard to follow up a win with a win. He said, here, look at one person who's done it. The last person to do it was actually Tiger Woods. He forgot. But he has followed a win with a win. Now, his problem has been putting, right? Over the past couple of, maybe 18 months or so, not recently, but in the past. You know, he tried the belly putter, the claw grip, and all these different things. And he has come across something so special on the green, so special he will not reveal what that is exactly that he has come across. But we're going to listen to him because he is doing doing really well. This is a really tight leaderboard. And he is not taking his driver, so it wasn't part of his set that he was going to bring to the Open. But he's doing quite well. And let's see what he says is the way to win, or to score at least.
I think that really solidly struck shots are giving you easy pars and potential birdies. And poorly struck shots are making it extremely difficult to salvage par. So I think that it's going to be a good test to separate yourself and play well. Great thing about tomorrow is that now all the players that are in contention will be on the course at the same time. And that's going to be the key.
You know, it's funny when he said poor shots put you in a bad place and good shots. Well, that's kind of the same everywhere, isn't it? Phil Mickelson has a wonderful way of just answering questions and saying things. You go, huh? You can hit a good shot at Muirfield and be in a bad place. You can hit a bad shot and be in a great place. That's the strange thing about links golf. The roll, the bounce, the, you know, and that's what can get your confidence down. And I think it's interesting that Tom Watson's keeping an eye on just how you handle that. As for how many times Tiger Woods used his driver, and I'm going to use this because you got to listen to this. How often do you hear a reaction in the media center like this when Tiger Woods is talking? So I saw him use the driver this morning. I was up at 1 o'clock. I saw him use the driver this morning. But how many times, first and second day, did Tiger use the driver?
I've hit, I believe, about 8 or 10 on the range. I got you good on that, Bobby.
I just thought it was so cool. Got you good, didn't I? All right, we're gonna talk about something that's really exciting. Really exciting is watching on the range, Bubba Watson. Okay, it's like watching a trick shot artist on the range because he can make it go here, he can make it go there, he can make it go just about anywhere. And now, you saw the 7 million people saw the YouTube of Bubba driving the hovercraft. Did you? Were you one of the 7 million? If you weren't, you can always go to YouTube and find it, because it really is something to see. Really quite amazing. Windy Knoll Golf Course Managing Director Pete Duffy, welcome to the golf club. Inside the clubhouse you come. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Absolutely a pleasure to have you, sir. I was just amazed. You've got Nancy Lopez is going to be there, Hall of Famer, LPGA's Paige McKenzie is going to be there, and Tim Rosefort from Golf World, Golf Digest, NBC Golf Channel is emceeing the unveiling Windy Knoll Golf Course, the first course in the United States of America to have not one, but two of these hovercraft, and I have a real hard time saying this, sir, hovercraft golf cart.
You can't wrap your head around it, neither can I. If you're a golfer, as we all are, they don't go one and the same. We're trying to learn at this point.
Well, a craft, a hovercraft, and a cart, you know, they're like two totally different things. A cart is something that's kind of awkward and bumpy and square, and a hovercraft is something that's gliding and smooth and round and moves. And so, hovercraft, we got to find a different word to describe this golf cart that is a hovercraft. Why have you gone to, this has got 65 horsepower, 50 mile an hour potential. This thing could be dangerous. You don't let people drink and drive, do you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, we at Windy Knoll Golf Club saw this as just an amazing opportunity to set ourselves apart from any other golf course, and to gain notoriety for the club. We are a bit of a destination course in Central Ohio. You know, as you said, Springfield, Ohio. We're only about 45 minutes to an hour west of Columbus. We feel this opportunity will allow us to spread our roots and to gain even more of a following. And I can tell you, in the last couple of weeks since all this kind of hit, we are starting to see increased traffic already just to come to Windy Knoll Golf Club.
I bet. It's Windy Knoll Golf Club, and it's in Springfield, right between Dayton and Columbus. I mean, I want to come to your course right now just because I want to be in one.
We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you.
What's the plan for the unveiling, which is this coming week, next Saturday, which is why you're not on the show with me on Saturday, because you're going to be so busy. I wanted you, of course, on the day that it was unveiled. So what's the plan? Tell me what the plan is.
Well, it's very exciting. As you said, we've got Nancy Lopez, we've Paige McKenzie, and Tim Rosefort, and this is going to be our opportunity, Windy Knoll Golf Club to unveil them to the public. The day will consist of a clinic on the range with Paige and Nancy and Tim. We're going to have a really fun and laid-back scramble in the middle of the day where we've got about 25 to 30 teams, where we'll have the hovercrafts on the course flying around. We'll have Paige and Nancy and Tim on the golf course with all the players, and it'll be a blast. And then followed by the dinner and awards, we've got a regional band that has a great following, you know, here locally, playing with professional fireworks.
Wow.
At dark.
Wow. That's you really are putting on the Ritz. You're doing a good job. When it comes to who's going to be driving the hovercraft, that's the only thing I'm thinking of. Who gets to drive it during the scramble?
Pilots, trained pilots. And the reason why I use pilots is very much, it's a flying object. We got our hands on the first one just on Thursday. And I had my first opportunity to take it out on the golf course this morning, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. It's an experience that no golfer has ever had, I can assure you of that. But it will take a good deal of training, and we will have staff that will be trained pilots. And in the near future, when a group of men or women would like to rent them, they will not only get a chance to play around at Winnie Knoll Golf Club in a hovercraft, but they will be chauffeured at the same time.
That's the ticket.
Yes.
Oh, that's the only solution. You just made it make sense, because I couldn't imagine having golfers try to drive a hovercraft. You have to give them like hours of lessons first.
So the instruction manual is over 100 pages long, and yes, it would literally take days for you to be properly trained.
Wow. Now this hovercraft, can it go right across the water hazard?
Yes, it can. We will have a couple of lakes on our course as the designated spots for our pilots to take their passengers over the lake during their round of golf.
That's wonderful. I'm most impressed about the environmentally... It doesn't hurt anything. It has
no, it does not.
It
no,
has
it does
a,
not. You're right.
A footprint pressure 33 times less than the human foot. It doesn't seem possible.
It really doesn't. But you know, taking it around the golf course this morning, I can definitely see where they're coming from. I mean, you're gliding on air, and it's a wide based apparatus. So when you do turn off and sink back down, for the lack of a better term, to the ground, you're on a nice wide rectangular base. So it displaces the weight very nicely, does not do any harm to the golf course. We're still not going to allow them to go over greens and bunkers like what it's alluded to on the Bubba video that you spoke about at the beginning, but it's definitely very safe for the fairways and the cart paths and even a couple of lakes here at Windy Knoll.
So it's a four-passenger vehicle, this hovercraft. You have the driver, that's one, so there's three more. So if there's a foursome, that would be rented out? You'd rent both hovercrafts to a foursome?
Yes, that's exactly why we purchased two, because we envisioned a pilot in the front row and two golfers in the back row. So the foursome makes up with both.
Right. And then it's got room for the two golf bags and everything
exactly.
else that you want to have, like a little cooler in the front.
Exactly.
Well, now
exactly,
you don't have to worry about drinking and driving. You've got your designated driver.
Absolutely. You can enjoy yourself. It's a hovercraft limousine on a golf course prior to April 1st. Who would have ever thought it?
Nobody. Yep. And it would take a Bubba Watson to think of doing this, because Bubba's out there.
Absolutely. You know, this is not going to take over the golf world as the future of golf carts, and it will not be the norm. We understand that, but that's why we see it as an opportunity. Yet another attraction to come to Central Ohio to experience our public golf course that we feel is second to none in the state. And this is just yet another reason to come out and check it out.
He just said public, a public golf course. His name is Pete Duffy. It's Windy Knoll Golf Course. He's the managing director. It's a public course in Ohio, Springfield, between Dayton and Columbus. Pete Duffy, thanks for being on the show.
I really appreciate the opportunity. If anybody's further interested, just go to winningknollgolfclub.com. Check us out.
Excellent.
Give us a call.
Excellent. Thank you. And
thank you.
We're going to take a break. First, we're going to do our legal ID real quick, Jazz. KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. They say a test drive is worth a thousand words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
I always like watching the pre-tournament interviews. The Open is underway at Muirfield, in case you didn't know. It is probably one of the most exciting. I keep looking over at the leaderboard. Oh, really? Hunter Mahan. He's not even playing. He's moving up. Fascinating. Lee Westwood, he is one of the best players to have not have won a major. I just say that really quickly because I don't like anybody being defined by something like that. His name is Lee Westwood. He's 40, and he says this is his favorite time of the year.
I mean, I love playing the Open Championship. You know, this is the biggest tournament of the year for me, being a Brit and it being played in Britain. And, you know, it's why not enjoy it out there? It's tough for everybody, so smile your way through.
I love it. It is tough for everybody. He's still with 3 under par. There are only 3 guys under par for this tournament. Does that tell you what this place is like? Graham McDowell, during the pre-tournament portion of the event, was asked about Rory McIlroy, and he said, you know, form is temporary, class is permanent. Rory's a class player, and he'll be back. Did you know that Tiger Woods is complimentary? I don't mean like in free. I mean like he gives compliments. And Graham said he's number one in the world, maybe number one ever. And as far as the course, playing firm and fast and well bunkered. No kidding. And it's been getting firmer and faster ever since they started playing during practice rounds. Now let's go. I've been trying this new shoe that's really, I find it, for a golf shoe, it's sexy. I mean, a sexy women's golf shoe? No. But if you pair this shoe, which is designed to go from the course to the street, with a nice pair of skinny jeans and a little sequin top, interesting. Eco's gone away and, you know, they've done something different. That's right, Eco Shoes. Eco Women's Chic Life Street Booty is what we're talking about. We're going to talk with David Helter. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Danielle. How are you doing out in Hawaii?
Oh, we're doing fine. How, you know, as they say, how could you not be doing fine in paradise? But then it's about the same temperature everywhere, so we're all having this beach weather across the globe. It's quite interesting. Not a storm to be found. From runway to fairway to every day, inspired by the boulevards of the world's fashion capitals, EcoGolf Street Life Booty offers a serious golf-style upgrade, showcasing high-fashion leathers with patent and glitter finishes alongside subtle patterning. The Golf Street Life Booty provides the perfect complement to any modern outfit, paired with Eco's patented hybrid sole with traction bars instead of cleats. It seamlessly transitions from the golf course to everyday life. Sir, I have done this. I've transitioned from the golf course to everyday life. I'm quite impressed with your design team. David Helter's VP of Sales. Who designed this?
Well, we're pretty lucky because our co-CEO, Dieter Kasprach, started as a designer with the company, married the daughter of the owner, is the co-CEO, and has a passion for golf. So he has stayed in golf and designed all of the golf products for Echo.
So a woman influenced him.
Of course. Women influence all of us.
No, not always. Sometimes men, I see so many golf things that obviously a woman has not been consulted. He may be married to one, but he hasn't listened to her because they have no sense of form. They don't fit. They look like a box, you know, a shirt. It's not something a woman. Woman's got to feel good to actually perform well. If you feel frumpy, you're going to feel frumpy. It's no good. These shoes are wonderful. I don't feel frumpy. And in addition to that, I like the fact that I can wear them on the course. I can wear them on the street. More importantly, that they're not difficult on my back. What is it about Eco that you got into the shoe? I mean, Freddie Couples has signed up again with you folks. And obviously, go ahead.
I love the fact that you call them sexy, because, and I will share that with Dieter, because as a designer, you want to appeal to the people. And for him to design a shoe that is considered sexy, I think would be very appealing to him.
But good. And they are.
Echo started as a women's company. We are in the women's comfort, casual, and fashion business, so it gives us a slight advantage over some of the major golf companies in that we design women's shoes first and golf shoes second, so we get that feminine appeal to our product.
That's why. Ah, now I understand. But Fred Couples uses your shoes, right?
He started with the Echo Hybrid product back in 2010, and the reason he liked it is he had a bad back, and it helped him get closer to the ground, and he just felt more comfortable wearing the product, and it worked very well for him. And the whole hybrid category has just absolutely hit the market. Everybody, all of the competitors are doing hybrid product, and it's really the biggest trend within the industry right now.
It is. It's so important to people with a back that may not be, you know, even you can be young and have a difficult problem with your back. And what cleats do, or golf shoes, they kind of anchor you. That's great, you know, if you're really good. But if you tweak yourself and you're anchored, it can hurt you even more. This is just a message to people who are playing. If you have a sensitive back and you're wearing golf shoes and you anchor yourself and then twist, you can definitely hurt yourself. So if that's been a reason why you haven't gotten on the course, you should really consider hybrid shoes, because these shoes don't anchor you. They allow you to have a little bit more. Yes, you're going to move a little bit more, but it's not like we're playing most golf courses. I don't know. I just think you should try it and get back on the course, and you'll find that you'll really enjoy it. Now, you call these traction bars instead of cleats. That's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah, they're very small kind of nubs that are on the bottom of the shoe. And one of the beauties of a hybrid shoe, anybody's hybrid shoe, not just Echo, but anybody's hybrid shoe, is that with a cleat on each shoe, you have 8 or 9 points of contact. You have 8 or 9 points of cleats on the bottom. And those are pressure points on the bottom of your foot, where with a hybrid product, in our shoes, you have 100 different traction bars, so it spreads the weight across the bottom of your foot evenly. And if you're playing a dry, hard course, and I heard you talking on the break about the Open in Scotland, those are hard courses. And when you're walking on a hard course or you're standing on a hard course, spreading your weight across the bottom of your foot really makes a difference in terms of the comfort aspect of your game.
Absolutely, and that's why it translates so you can go from the course to the street, because you don't have those 9 pressure points. It's not like you're walking on golf shoes. You're walking on street shoes. I was a little bit worried about the traction bars being worn down by the street, though. That's the only thing I worried about. But then I looked at them and I went, wow, they're holding up just fine.
Yeah, the material that's used on the outsole of those traction bars is the same material that's used in a running shoe. So it's made for a very firm and hard surface, whether it's concrete, whether it's macadam. So they will wear very well for 2 to 3 years, and you won't have any problems wearing them down.
David Helter, thanks so much for being on the show. Really a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Danielle. I wish I was there in Hawaii with you in person versus here in New Hampshire.
Well, come on over.
You got it. Have a great show. Thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely. Eco Women's Chic Life Street Booty. Yes, look it up. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
Yes, indeed. And we're watching the leaderboard at the Open Championship in Gullane. That's in Scotland. It's kind of like the Gulf Coast of Scotland. The name of the course they're playing on, the club is Muirfield. The number of times Muirfield has hosted the Open, 24. The first time was in 1860. And they've changed it a little bit. They took on the criticism that came, and then they made little changes. It's playing about 2% longer than it was in 2002. The longest putt ever recorded in an Open is 140 feet. Bob Cook did that in 1976 at St. Andrews. They have bigger greens at St. Andrews. Muirfield is playing 7,192 yards. The hardest hole is number 8, and I don't know if that holds up with the weather, the way it's been changing. So I just wanted to go down to the bottom of my all these clever factoid sheets, factoids. 60% of the winners at Muirfield have been from Great Britain. And did you notice the kind of the way that Lee Westwood's been walking? There's a certain... he's just walking. He looks, I don't know, the orange shirt is a bit much for me. I liked his outfit yesterday. It was very nice, very styling. This orange is like, hello, safety cone. Let's bring in, now this is the man who knows all the things that, you know, I think I'm well prepared. Bob Bupka, voice of golf. Welcome inside the clubhouse. It's so good. You've been on the air all morning in the grill room. Radio show on Sirius XM. He's in Gullane at Muirfield, the home of the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, a club that I am not invited to become a member of. The voice of golf, welcome.
Welcome to you, Danielle, and I have to begin by saying, sounded like you're a little harsh on that shirt being worn by Lee Westwood.
You think I'm harsh? No, seriously?
Well, he's pretty stylish with those white pants.
Okay.
And believe me,
okay.
There's no happier guy in Great Britain right now than Lee Westwood. He's on the threshold of doing something that he's never done, and that's win a major. This is his 19th Open Championship. He's had four top fives in majors, and he's got a lot of work to do. And, of course, he may have gotten a break because of Hunter Mahan finishing at one under par. The last group... tomorrow is going to be Lee Westwood and Hunter Mahan, and ironically, it's going to be Tiger Woods and Adam Scott. So maybe a battle of the caddies in that one, as well as the players.
Yeah, we love that, don't we? When the fact that Stevie Williams is going to be on Adam's bag and Tiger Woods is going to be walking along next to him. Tiger takes off with quite a stride when he gets going down those fairways. I watched the caddy trying to keep up with him. It's like he just marches. And somebody said that Lee Westwood's going to have to really control his enthusiasm. He gets very excited. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Danielle. And why wouldn't you get excited? He's done everything in the game of golf. He's a wonderful ambassador. We're lucky to have him in the game. He moved to the United States this past year to work on his game more. He went with Sean Foley. Can you imagine this? Lee Westwood, Hunter Mahan, Tiger Woods, the top three names on the leaderboard, all work with the same coach in Sean Foley.
Isn't that something? I just think that's great. I also think what's great is that Phil Mickelson won't talk about what magic thing he figured out on the greens. He said it's so magic he won't tell anybody. Have you heard?
Oh, well, that's just a bad dream that Phil Mickelson had. There's no secret that anybody could learn. They've been playing this game, especially over here, since I think about 1400. So if they played it that long and nobody's figured out the secret, they're not going to figure out the secret. It's right between your ears. That's where the secret is. And hey, don't count Phil out though.
No.
He's only five shots out of the lead.
No.
I mean,
yes.
Five shots on this course, Danielle, is absolutely nothing.
I couldn't agree with you more. Look at what happened to the leader today. The leader was Miguel Angel Jimenez, and he started off at the top. And now he's where? Tied for 11th.
Well, yeah, he moved way down, but I think he was a little distracted because it's the first time I've ever seen, after all the Open Championships that I've covered, I have never seen the 36-hole leader walking to the first tee to begin the third round wearing a ponytail, holding the hand of his girlfriend. I thought maybe she was going to walk the fairways with him, but finally they kissed. Just a few yards away from the first tee, and then Miguel went out there and shot a, what did he shoot here? Oh, unbelievable. He's not even finished yet.
He's not even finished yet.
Yeah, and he's six over par. He may have a new girlfriend by tomorrow.
The kiss that didn't work. Oh, no. We're not superstitious or anything in golf. So you've never seen anyone walk with their girlfriend hand in hand to the first tee?
No, wearing a ponytail.
Well, the ponytail...
Actually, both of them are wearing ponytails.
All right, well, what stands out for you this Open? I mean, it's hot, it's dry, it's brown, it's... the wind has been blowing from strange directions, but it looks beautiful on television.
Well, it does, and what stands out for me more than any other single thing is the... accommodations that Janice Self booked for us. Very convenient. Only 3 miles from the golf course. Takes us only 15 minutes to get here. However, once you're in this caravan that they call it, my toaster is 4 times the size of my TV. The only way that the shower works for me is I go in, I take, wash one half of my body, go out, dry off, and then reverse the procedure to wash the other half. So there's no taking a complete shower in that shower, that's for sure.
So you're saying that the accommodations are small. Most European hotels are on the smaller side, Bob.
Yeah, well, if you can imagine a turkey trying to wash itself in a bird bath, then you can get a visualization.
What, dare I ask the name of this? I was going to say, is this a good place to stay? It's only, just 3 miles from the course. What's the name of the place? But now I'm wondering if, small people, you know, okay, ready? You're a tall guy. You're a big guy. You know, I'm not, you're just long, not fat. I mean, like, in, you know, big. So
no, fat.
No, you're not fat. What's the name of your hotel? Let's give them a plug.
Well, it's a caravan park. It's called Seton Sands, and you can see the water. It's very lovely. But they have strange things. They have a restaurant on location.
Stop. It's a caravan park. It's like a trailer park. You rent a trailer?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh!
A two-bedroom trailer with a kitchen, a living room, you know, a bedroom, a huge bed. Matter of fact, the bed is so big that there's no floor space. In other words, the bedroom is covered by the bed. So what you do is you get to the door of the bedroom and then pick your spot and try and leap into where you want to be because you can't walk around the bed.
I love it. Now, I actually find this quite interesting. Care is a Set in Sands is the name of it, and we're not allowed to have trailers here in Hawaii. We're not allowed to have home on wheels.
Somebody from Hawaii came over here and saw one of these and said, "No, we're not having any of those in Hawaii."
This is great. Thank you.
And anyway, walked into the restaurant the other night, and this was interesting. I said, "How long before we can get a table?" They said, "Oh, no, we could sit you right now." It's great. He said, "But it'll be an hour before we can serve you."
But they're going to ply you with alcohol is the whole, it's the premise there. We'll sit you down, give you a few pints, and then by the time it's time to eat. Yeah, well, it sounds like you're having a good time.
There's no other golf tournament in the world that even remotely comes close to the excitement and thrills that you get at an Open Championship. And really, on a serious note, all that you've done for the game of golf in Hawaii, you owe it to yourself to come here. I know you experienced the Masters, and that's all nice, but the Open Championship is completely different than any other event, mainly because, number one, if you show up at the gate, you can buy a ticket. There's no scalping of tickets. There's no restricted number of people.
Right.
And a lot of youngsters. You see a lot of families, mom and dad, and their little son and daughter walking with them, and they're very knowledgeable. They know a lot about the game, and it's just incredible. Of course, I was in a sour mood for the first 4 days I was here because the luggage never arrived, and having to go into a pro shop every day to buy a shirt to wear at 50 pounds, which is about $75.
Wow.
And, the last thing in the world I need is golf shirts. Now I got three of them from here to the tune of $225.
Now, did your luggage arrive? Are you feeling better?
The luggage arrived just in time for us to get on the plane to go back home, and probably won't get back home in time either. So
so you'll lose your golf shirts. You have to start all over again.
You're right.
So we've got Lee Westwood, Hunter Mahan, Tiger Woods, Adam Scott, Henrik Stenson, Ryan Moore, Angel Cabrera, Zach Johnson. Zach Johnson, really playing well, and then he went off the deep end. But then again, those bunkers do that to you. Phil Mickelson and Hideki Matsuyama. It's great to see Hideki. I understand that he got hit with a slow play penalty today.
Yeah.
Bob. Why? What did he do?
He was playing slow, and they slapped a one-stroke penalty on him. And then I swear, I think that we had to call the embassy because I think they were going to declare war on us. The Japanese media surrounded the rules official. I called the penalty on him, and he was being grilled for a good hour or more. Of course, he's saying stuff in English. They're trying to interpret it. I mean, it was just a wild scene. It's unfortunate it happened, but I verified with the official. He definitely was playing slow. He definitely was warned a couple of times and just failed to pick up the pace.
There you go. Now, I understand that Tom Watson is there. Of course, he played, but he didn't make the cut. But he's still hanging out kind of because he's going to play in the Senior Open next week. But isn't he scouting to check out his Ryder Cup team? And what's he looking for in a player as he watches them at Muirfield?
Well, he's looking for somebody that can perform under pressure. You're not going to see much of that here. I mean, Muirfield, it's far less about performing and more about surviving. I mean, you know, and it's really funny because you watch players play various holes, Danielle, and when they hit it in the proper spot, they don't have any difficulty whatsoever. They go offline by 10 or 15 feet, and then they almost can't finish the hole.
Right.
I mean, it's just fascinating. It's a wonderful golf course. It may be it is by many the best course that they play the Open Championship on, and all you have to do is look at previous winners here. Every winner except for one is in the Hall of Fame. So when Nicklaus wins here, Trevino wins here, Player wins here, Faldo wins here, yeah. Ernie Els wins here. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's take on Rory McIlroy. He said something to the effect of he's feeling brain dead. Did he really say brain dead? I kept looking for that.
Yeah, he did, and he told the assembled media, I'm literally brain dead right now, and I don't know how to cope with it. Could somebody get Bob Bupka to come over here and talk to me what it's like being brain dead?
I think he did. Is it true he's thinking about seeing Bob Rotella or is a mental coach?
He's already seen him.
Oh, he's already seen. Well, then heck.
Yeah.
You know, then just throw out. Just he's 23 years old. He's probably worth about, what, $40 million or more right now?
$40 million.
How about $80 million?
$80 million. Oh, he signed a contract for $250 million dollars, and that's not counting anything that he makes.
But did he get all of that all at one time, or does he have to get in increments over the years?
What difference does?
No,
it make
what difference does?
If I tell you I'm giving you $200 million, you're going to ask me if I'm going to give it to you all at once?
Well, yeah, it's. You know, yeah. Tax income and all that stuff. How
right,
do I work
right,
it?
Right.
Where do I want to invest right. it?
Yeah, so you can make more money.
Yeah. All right, so how about Tiger Woods? He looks good. What went wrong?
Well, nothing really went wrong. I mean, he played pretty well. He shot one over par on a very demanding golf course. The thing that he's going to have to live with tonight is he's won 14 majors, but he never once came from behind ever to win a major. And now he's going to have to try and do that from two shots back. And, you know, it's been hard enough trying to win number 15, and it's, you know, that's why he really wanted to be in the lead going into the fourth and final round. He's only lost once when he had the lead going into the fourth round, and he's never won even once when he trailed going into the fourth and final round. So it's going to make for some tremendous viewing. What time does it come on there? About midnight in Hawaii?
About midnight. I was up at 1. So we've got three guys that are under par. That's it. That's all.
That's
Lee Westwood, Hunter Mahan, and Tiger Woods. Lee's 3 under, Mahan and Woods 2 under, and we'll see them. It's going to be great. I just love this event. And you know what, Bob? I made a pact with somebody a couple years back, Michael Patrick Shields. He didn't show up at the Masters. He said he'd be there if I would be there. And I got there. He didn't. Ryan Ballingy and I have made a pact that I'll be at the Open next year. So you'll be there?
Well, yeah, I'll probably stay here and wait for you.
Okay.
I won't even go back. But, hey, Danielle, this is another oddity. After 36 holes, there was only one guy at level par. I forget who it was right now. Now, after 54 holes, there's only one guy that's at level par, and that's Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
I mean, I've never seen a leaderboard like this.
It's wonderful. And if you're not watching, you really need to. You know, Bob, we've run out of time. There's never enough time. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Loved it. Keep up the good work, Danielle.
Thank you.
Hope to see you soon.
We
Bye.
Will. Bye. And I want to thank the people who make this show possible. It's brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Go out and test drive that Acura RLX and the Acura RLX Advance. It's here. You get in it, you'll love it. And now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 25% off the sale rack. There are tee times available for you to play today an 1150, a 1240, a 140, and the Lexus Group is going out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. put together an absolutely unforgettable, unique golfing experience. It's Poipu Bay. And Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, you get their team on site, they check it out, then they develop the protection for your home or your business. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii. We're at RadioGolfClub.com. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.